morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Indeed, it is a good morning today, my friends. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday and every day. Guess what? If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. It happens to be my birthday today. Thanks for sharing in that with me today. Oh, lots going on in the news. And of course, this show is focused on what's happening here in Salem in our region, affecting everyday Oregonians in our day-to-day life. And we've been under an incredible storm with this COVID-19. Ever since I started this show in March, it seems like every day we're hearing about our liberties and our life being impacted by those we've elected, these officials who are making decisions for us. And I still maintain that we make the best decisions ourselves, locally, for our families, for our businesses. And when we look at today's headlines, which is brought to you by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, Sunderland Agency, you can get a hold of him at 503-885-0789. Looking at the regional headlines, about 25% of Oregonians are now unemployed, and it's a complete failure on the governor's part and the government. The people are still over several thousand, like 6,000 to 7,000 people still have not had their claims filed since March. We're going to keep an eye on that. And there is a bit of good news for Oregon today, May 15th, general retail. We're talking about standalone retail spaces. If you have a store, you're allowed, like a secondhand store or maybe a boutique of some kind, you can open up for business today. But the bad news is Marion and Polk County did not get approved by Governor Brown to open up. And I want to thank my friend, classmate Senator Bowl. She's really digging into the reason why. They stated that it was hospitalization rate, and it looks like looking at the numbers, what we're digging into, and Senator Bowles is asking lots of questions. It was only one person added to the hospital in that report. And so there's a lot of questions, a lot of misunderstanding, not understanding what's going on. And something else very local that's going on, I want to commend Lindsey Graham. She's bold and courageous. She has the Glamour Spa downtown Salem right on Liberty. Was there a couple weeks ago when she reopened. In fact, I even poked on her website to see if I can slip in and get my hair trimmed or whatever. She's booked out by appointment, and I'm so pleased to have Lindsey with me this morning to give an update. Good morning, Lindsey. Thank you for joining the morning show this morning. How are you doing, girl?
I'm doing great. Good morning, and happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you. I have to tell you, I have been so inspired by your courage, your boldness, your ability to speak about the issue. And first of all, on behalf of Oregonians, thank you for standing strong, and we are with you. And I hope you feel, as much as there's been heat on you, I hope you feel encouraged by those of us that are standing with you through this. Give us an update of what's been going on. It's been about 2 weeks now since you reopened.
Yes, it's we're going on the end of our second week being reopened since May 5th. And it's been a whirlwind every day, as you can imagine. I started to get a little more relaxed this week as things started settling down and nothing new popped up. And I probably shouldn't have gotten relaxed because the state is behind the scenes. They are still attack me from every angle. So, you know, at the press conference outside my salon this morning, I'm going to lay out the timeline of everything the state has thrown at me almost daily since I opened. But most recently, the hit that I've taken now officially is that OSHA determined that my case will be closed last night, but they are closing it with the following disciplines. They are issuing me a $14,000 citation. And within 3 days of that citation being issued, which should come next week, probably on Monday, they are demanding that I close my doors or I risk being cited yet again. And the citation itself is ridiculous because OSHA, as I continue to repeat, is an employee-based organization. They're Their main job and concern is to protect employees from hazardous and dangerous workplaces. And I maintain, truthfully, that the stylists working in my salon are independent contractors. They are there by their own choice, at their own risk. They are doing so because they have to provide, you know, income for their family. And OSHA has decided completely unlawfully that my independent contractors are, quote, my employees, which is completely untrue, completely invalid. And I'm not sure how they came to that conclusion, so it's going to be interesting to watch it get thrown out in court.
Yes, and so the next action would be once you're cited, then you can take that and challenge that in court. Is that correct?
Yes, and that is my plan.
Good, good. Here's the interesting thing, Lindsay. As a salon owner, you own the business. You have contractors come in. They make their own schedule. You don't
Correct.
Tell them, yes, you have times that are open, but they, as independent contractors, have the chance to design their own schedule. And you have lots of schooling. All of your independent contractors, your stylists, people that provide the special services, they go through their own schooling. They're taking precautions already, even before COVID-19. Talk to us a little bit the safety precautions you're doing there in the salon.
Absolutely. So, yeah, every stylist that is in the salon holds licenses for being an independent contractor, as well as being certified by the Board of Cosmetology. And to receive that certification from the state of Oregon, you have to pass a series of tests that don't just include doing a haircut. It's following all the safety and sanitation procedures as outlined in the health licensing book, Rules and Regulations. So, we were just inspected by Health Licensing Office, I want to say 3-4 months ago, and the salon, the facility itself, passed with flying colors. Not one citation was issued. So that tells me, and that tells you, and that tells the public, that our facility, the Health Licensing Office is claiming our facility is safe and secure and sanitized. So we've also gone above and beyond, of course, sanitizing every common area that's been exposed to by a client is being sanitized between clients. We are separating the stylists into different rooms if we need to so that they are 6 feet from another stylist. We are offering masks to our clients and have plenty on stack and in stock and ready. We are wearing masks ourselves and gloves and just going above and beyond. And there's just really no reason our salon isn't operating safely and more safely than these businesses that have been deemed essential, these mega companies that have been allowed to make millions of dollars during this pandemic while small businesses are going bankrupt.
And small businesses that take enormous risk, downtown Salem, ministering help to the people of our local community. And I wonder, I'm just speculating here, I don't have any inside scoop, but I wonder if the saying no to Marion County had something a little bit to do with some of us rogue patriots that are standing up for our rights right here in Salem, where the Capitol is. And I want to make sure people understand that you have a press conference this morning. Talk about that this morning. What time is that and where is that located?
That is at 10:30. It's going to be outside my salon, and it's basically to make sure that all the press and the news media, social media, gets the story accurate and they do know what the government is attempting to do to me. And some of it has already started floating around Facebook already, but it's pretty devastating, the lows that the government has sunk to try to intimidate me.
Yeah, even had the city on your doorstep about your lease. You've had all kinds, and you'll outline that in your press conference today. The thing, Lindsay, that gets me all stirred up is the fact that your liberty, our ability to make a livelihood, to feed our families, is hampered by the government and by the Constitution, even the Oregon Constitution. When the government takes something from us, they need to pay us back for it. If it was our land and they were doing a new road, they'd have to pay us for that right. piece of land they're taking. They're taking your ability to provide for your family. It's a fundamental right. And I'm glad that you're standing up. What are you learning from this?
Oh, man. I haven't learned anything yet, except that it is not fun to fight for your civil liberties because the government is very vindictive. I hope to have a fabulous lesson at the end of all this. But yeah, I mean, what you're saying about the government taking our things away and having to pay us back, I'm sure I speak for every business owner when I say you cannot at this point pay us back. There's no way, there's no amount of money in the world that you can repay what business owners have gone through during this 6-week pandemic. They've taken everything that most of us have worked our entire lives for. They've put people in debt where they were previously debt-free. Businesses are going bankrupt. They're closing. They're selling. It's devastating. There's no monetary value on what this has done to people. And I know, you know, I know what I know, and that's my family. And I know that the government will never be able to give us back what they have cost us in these last 6 weeks. It's virtually impossible.
And what people are learning about you and learning about being Salem Strong is that if not me, who? If not now, when? Right? You're standing strong, and what a great message you're leading your children, showing that, nope, not here, not on our watch. We're going to stand strong. And I thank you for sacrificing your time, talent, and treasure, Lindsay, for standing strong. Your message is getting out there. We are going to make sure that people all around this country and the world know that you're standing strong. And certainly, How can friends support you in this? People who, there's costs, there's legal costs, all of that. How can they get involved?
There is legal costs, and there's a lot of gossip and you know, misinformation that floats around on social media. I'm happy to ignore that, because if you don't know, you don't know. But a lot of people are under the impression that my attorneys are working pro bono, and that is absolutely not the case. And even if it were, I would reimburse them at the end of all this, because they've worked so hard for me and they've been my strongest supporters. So yes, I am taking the citation from OSHA to court. I do have the $14,000 citation, and I'm taking the demand to close mandate to court. And that's going to be quite an expensive ordeal. I don't even want to think about it, but I just know that if I don't, I am allowing the government to say that in the future, we bullied you enough that now you know you don't dare try to open up your business and survive. We control your right to live. We control your right to earn an income. And what I'm saying is, this cannot happen again. We let it happen. We should never have let it happen. Now we're too scared to stand up because of the threats. But this, the government needs to know, you cannot do this to us again. It is not fair. It's not right. It's not lawful. It's not constitutional. And so I cannot just sit by and take the fine, even if the GoFundMe, you know, paid for it. I couldn't do it and close my doors, because then they win. And it's not about winning for me, but it is about saying they're going to think that they won, and that now that they know they can bully anyone back into submission.
Yes, and Lindsay, thanks again. I'll be down there this morning at 10:30 to support you. Thank you for what you're doing. Get a hold of Lindsay Graham on Facebook. She has a public page. Support her. Thank you, Lindsay. After this break, we're going to talk about how elections have consequences and why it's important to stand by our elected leaders. Get leaders in who are going to stand for our constitutional rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning, Salem. So glad to have you tuning in on this Friday. It's 7:22 in the morning. I'm Stacey Annie, listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use, here to encourage, inspire, engage, and educate you. And of course, we are in a primary election right around the corner. I want to remind you that you need to get your ballot filled out. And here in Oregon, we have the mail-in ballot, right? But it's past due time to mail in your ballot. Make sure you get it filled out and delivered by Tuesday night. And talking about the election has consequences, as we just heard from Lindsay in that last segment. You know, it's the elected leaders that are making it difficult for us to reopen and even work and provide for our families. And I want to share with you, I've got got a wonderful guest, special guest on the line. I want to tell you a little bit about her. It's Marilyn Musgrave. The Honorable Marilyn Musgrave was an activist. Long before she ran for office, she devoted herself to her family and stood strong for the values she holds dear. She was the president of her local Right to Life chapter and served on the local school board, standing strong for academic rigor and respect for parents and taxpayers. After working hard as a volunteer for the campaigns of conservative candidates through the years, she ran for the Colorado House in 1994 and won the primary. Then she went on to unseat a two-term Democrat in the general. She served two terms in the House and one term in the Colorado Senate before running for the United States House in 2002. She served three terms representing the 4th District in the Colorado Legislature. Marilyn was a champion for the sanctity of human life, lower taxes, gun rights, and traditional marriage. She continued her fight to defend these values for 6 years in Congress. Mrs. Musgrave became a prime target of abortion advocates and was defeated in 2008 re-election campaign after they spent millions of dollars to accomplish their goal. The good news is she's still in the fight, right on the front lines, currently working as the Vice President of Government Affairs with Susan B. Anthony List. Her and her husband, Steve, also enjoy life in Colorado with their children and grandchildren. And Marilyn, so glad to have you on the line. I'm an Oregonian who lived in South Dakota for many, many years and was on the front lines running a pregnancy center, and through that I've heard you speak at many conferences. You are a champion, and it's an honor to have you on the show this morning. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you for those very kind words. You know, I feel like I am so blessed to still be in the fight for life, and the things that have happened in recent months, in the gains we have made under the most pro-life president ever. I mean, this is a time in the pro-life movement to keep forging, to keep going forward, because we have made gains, and it's so encouraging, and I just feel incredibly blessed to be with Susan B. Anthony List, and those kind words touch my heart. You know, we want our life to matter, and work for the innocent unborn child is an eternal value, so God bless you. Glad to be with you this morning.
Well, I tell you what, being a policymaker, and we're certainly learning that walking through this COVID-19, how elections have consequences.
I just learned
our Governor Brown, her very first election, she won by 7 votes when she first got into public office. 7 votes. So elections have consequences. Yes, your vote matters. And I love what you're doing, the strategy behind with Susan B. Anthony List and what you all are doing. I became aware of your organization back when Larry Dietrich in South Dakota was running against Stephanie Herseth, and I was involved with his campaign as West River director. And Susan B. Anthony would come in and say, hey, we need to be trained up, geared up. We need to be fighting this because policy affects all of us, and it's a rippling effect. Talk to us a little bit about why it's so important to get behind candidates who make life an important part of their decision. You know, they're going to protect life, defend life, create legislation that promotes life. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I got into politics because of this very issue, and before I became a candidate, I supported candidates that were pro-life, but it was so apparent to me after I was elected to public office what being pro-life really means. You know, you have people coming to you when you're elected with, maybe you'll have veterans coming in that need help getting their benefits. And Oregon folks really understand this, as Colorado, rural Colorado does. People have their property rights violated. You know, people get jerked around by government, and they appeal to you to help them out. And I always said, when you're pro-life, you care about the most vulnerable human being there is. And that speaks volumes of how you will help other people when they need it. So it's really, I think, the point where you realize someone is a true conservative if they think about the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I've always been proudly pro-life. The wonderful thing these days is, in many places in the country, being pro-life is really an advantage for people politically because of the extremism of the other side, the Ralph Northams, the Cuomos, you know, just brazenly celebrating taking the life of a little child. And we have Born Alive legislation that says if a child survives a failed abortion, they should be given medical care, just like any other little preemie. You know, we want to ban late-term abortion. Abortion that takes place when a child is able to feel pain. There's so many things that are evident now that weren't evident a few years ago, and the other side has really revealed how they really stand on innocent human life, the extreme measures that they would take. And so it's a good time to be pro-life. And I tell you, I've worked with Greg Walden. I served with him. He has been a pro-life champion, and he's just gotten better and better. It would just break my heart to see someone take his place that is not pro-life.
And that's exactly why we're talking today. There's a huge battle on the other side of the mountain here in Oregon for his seat. He's retiring, and his seat is wide open, and there's a primary battle, and you have gotten behind Jimmy Crumpacker. I don't know how you are with your time. If you could, we're going to come up against a hard break here pretty soon. Can you stick with us for a little bit this next break?
Yes, I can.
Okay, as we go into this break, we're continuing the conversation why it's so important to stand by our pro-life, liberty-fighting Constitution, really wanting to reassure people that these things are important, and we're learning that right now in a hard way going through the COVID-19. And so as we continue the conversation here right after the break, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday and every single day. We've got Marilyn Musgrave with Susan B. Anthony List on the line. We'll be back right after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand
good morning, Salem. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use. You can listen online at KSLM.news. Find us on Facebook. KSLM Radio, want to remind you, press conference with Lindsey Graham down on Liberty Street here in Salem, where she's going to talk about continued bullying and threats from the governor and the government here, and against her opening and wanting to provide for her family. And of course, many counties, several counties in Oregon opening up. Retail is open all across the state. Many counties are in phase one, except for Polk and Marion County right here in our neighborhood. And so we want to do all that we can to make sure that we're electing leaders, local leaders, our city council, school board, commission, statewide Senate and House, and national Senate and House. And we want them to be lining up with our values, right? And if we don't stand for life, you know, it's not a matter of a one issue vote. Oftentimes, this, oh, you're just a one issue voter. No, if you don't protect life, you don't get to be go any further in my mind. It's like, where are you at in this issue? Okay, then we can continue the conversation. And with me is Vice President of Government Affairs, Marilyn Musgrave. She served in for Colorado in Congress, and we're so glad to have you here this morning, Marilyn, and giving your insight, your wisdom, and talk to us here in Oregon why it's so extremely important that we elect those that stand for life.
Well, absolutely. We have to fill Greg Walden's seat with a pro-life individual. I was so impressed when I talked to Jimmy. He is pro-life all the way. He's involved in his community. He respects life at all stages. It's really very evident that that is his deeply held belief. On the other hand, one of his opponents, Newt Bueller, has made disparaging comments about the president in the past. And earlier in the past and earlier in our conversation, I said President Trump was the most pro-life president ever. Mm-hmm. And under his administration, the expanded Mexico City policy, our tax dollars are not going for abortion domestically or abroad. We have defunded Planned Parenthood to the tune of $60 million a year over the Title X money. That's Washington, D.C. speak for family planning money, with Planned Parenthood trying to act like abortion is contraception. And this president has done so much, and he's put so many people at Health and Human Services in high positions that are pro-life. So why would you criticize this president and then run for office, and then all of a sudden you're supporting the president? And when people say they're pro-choice, when they're for abortion, it is very alarming. But when a doctor is pro-choice, it's especially alarming to me, because we know that science is on our side.
Right.
You know, when I was in college, women were told, you know, it's just a blob of tissue, you take care of this. And now we know this is a little human being. You know, we have a member of Congress that's a doctor. He's performed surgery on babies in the womb.
Mm.
I mean, this is a child, and when they do have surgery before they're born, they're given anesthetic because doctors know it will give a better outcome because that little baby can feel pain. So when you have a doctor that is pro-choice, it's especially alarming to me. So someone needs to take Congressman Walden's place that is a pro-life hero, and I believe we'll have that in Jimmy Crum Packer.
And the reality is, if people would just realize that at conception, there's a whole unique, separate, living human being, and that abortion is really not, they talk about, it's all in the language, pro-choice. Well, the true choice is empowering that woman to have all the information, and that she would have an informed decision, and knowing that she has a right to relationship with that child, right? And she is destroying that legacy, you know, destroying that right of a relationship. And there's nothing I cherish more. Nothing I cherish more than my relationship with my mother and my relationship with my children. And that's just a fact. And so having a candidate line up with these values, it's more than just, you know, to get elected. You know, policies need to be upheld. Policies need to be made. We need to continue to have people on the Supreme Court who are judges who will uphold the Constitution, right? And stand for life and liberty. And so it is important to continue to stand. What's the process with Susan B. Anthony List? What is the process of them endorsing and getting behind candidates?
Well, we get to know the candidate. We talk to them. We have a questionnaire that asks very detailed questions. And we've gotten to know Jimmy Crum Packer, and we like what we see, and we endorse him. We very often are looking at women who are pro-life that are running. We love to get pro-life women in office because they have a unique way in speaking about this issue. But we love our pro-life men, too. And so Jimmy met all our requirements. And, you know, it's always interesting to talk to someone about this issue and find out how comfortable they are in their skin talking about their pro-life position. He's very comfortable. It's easy to him to be pro-life. It's a deeply held belief. And we can't trust the doctor in all this who, you know, he's pro-choice, and then, well, a few restrictions on abortion. I don't support the president. Well, now I do. You can't trust somebody like that, and I just am very hopeful that we will elect someone who will be in Congress championing life. And I'll tell you, the Republican conference right now in Congress is very pro-life.
Mm.
Leader Kevin McCarthy is very pro-life. Steve Scalise is very pro-life. You know, they've been demanding a vote on born alive, and that's a vote on whether or not a child that survives a botched abortion will receive medical care, and Nancy Pelosi will not let it come up for a vote. We need people in there that will demand a vote on that, and I look to the day where we have a pro-life majority in the House of Representatives again.
Remind us of where we're at on that, because it's a few numbers, right? That this election could kind of turn this around in the House. Talk to us about
it
the
could.
Numbers.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Garcia just won an election in California. That was great. And so I think we're up to 210, I think. And the magic number is 215. I should have checked the exact number today, but I know the new member coming in is going to sign the discharge petition as one of his very first acts. Can you imagine Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, will not allow a vote on that legislation.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
And the part that's really at me right now is that it appears, oh, they're so compassionate about what's going on in America with COVID-19 and stay safe. You know, we're in this together and all of this. It seems like just a dance show, you know, maybe a drama fest on the Democrat side, because the reality is if they really cared, they'd be protecting the most vulnerable. The children in the womb. And so there's legislation that's so important. And here in Oregon, friends, listeners, it's so critical that we hold on to this seat. We don't have a lot of Republican representation in D.C., and it's really important that we hold on to the seat, and more important that this person lines up with the life message. How can people learn more about Susan B. Anthony List and getting behind the efforts and evaluating candidates like Jimmy and really getting an understanding of what's going on?
Please go to sbalist.org, sbalist.org, and List is L-I-S-T. The website is wonderful because it will list all of our endorsed candidates. It will have some information on each one and really give you the latest news on life, whether or not it's something that the administration has just done or a state has. It's just really the go-to spot for life information, and I'm proud of Susan B. Anthony List because we need an organization that solely focuses on life and works to elect women and men who will fight for life. And we have exactly that in candidate Jimmy Crumpacker, and I'm hoping for a great outcome next Tuesday. Boy, it's right around the corner. You can get those ballots in. Those in the district there get their ballots into the ballot boxes by the 19th, and here we go.
Yes.
Hopefully we will replace a pro-life champion in Greg Walden with yet another one.
And the amazing part that we can play here in Oregon is affecting legislation across the country by having the right person in that spot. Marilyn, I get on a regular basis updates from Susan B. Anthony List sent to my email, and I believe your name's on those a lot of times on how to take action, call to action, things like that. Can our listeners sign up right on the website for those email updates? Okay, excellent.
They can, and there's very practical action that can be taken. You know, many times we're pro-life and we don't really know what to do with it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives you direction. It's exactly what you can do to promote life. And I think you'll find all of the information very meaningful. And really, when it comes to electing someone that stands for life, let me tell you, as someone who has spoken with members and senators, lobbying them on the life issue, it makes a world of difference if they have clearly stated they're pro-life before they're elected, and then they are true to that stand. So that's the kind of people we need.
Mm-hmm.
We need pro-life individuals, and we need them in office advocating for life. And we need leaders, and that's exactly what we'll have in Jimmy Crumpacker.
Well, thank you, Marilyn, for your time this morning joining us, and certainly we invite you to Oregon. Thank you for not giving up on us here in Oregon. You know, there's so many people on the front lines, and I appreciate your work, and I look forward to talking to you again. Come see us. Bring Susan B. Anthony here for more work. We'll talk to you soon. Take care now. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this day and every day. Coming up after this next break, we've got some fun things to talk about. Stay tuned.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Hope you're having a great day. I know I am. It's my birthday. Yes. Fun day had by all on May 15th when I came in, I guess. Want to share something with you. We've had an eventful morning so far talking about the business that is being challenged downtown Salem and how important it is that elections have consequences. I came across this quote, And it's very good. It says, who will govern the governors? There is only one force in the nation that can be depended upon to keep the government pure and the governors honest, and that is the people themselves. They alone, if well informed, are capable of preventing the corruption of power and restoring the nation to its rightful course if it should go astray. They alone are the safest depository of the ultimate powers of government. That was said by Thomas Jefferson back in the day, and it's so very true today. Going through social media, of course, looking at all different kinds of information and sources, trying to figure out why in the world Marion County and Polk County are still closed, because the science doesn't add up. What they said yesterday in the press conference, and they try to show that they are so caring and compassionate, and it really feels like we're in trouble in school and been sent to our room all of this time, not really being trusted as individuals when we are the people and we are responsible. And there are guidelines for those that are not responsible, and I think it's important that we stand strong. I stumbled upon this from the Conservative PAC, and I want to play it for you now. Listen to these words.
I have a special message for the power-grabbing COVID cabal politicians. We are not in this together. It is you against us, and every day you deepen the divide without a scintilla of proof or truth. You decided that the coronavirus would kill more than 2 million Americans, and now we all know that was false. Yet, armed with your false and bloated figures, you destroyed our jobs. You locked us in our homes. You took the food out of our mouths, and you destroyed our economy. You made us and our children wear your mandated masks and forbade us from even talking to each other. You, the politicians, treated us like disease-ridden vermin while you postured and preened in front of the cameras. Oh, we've tried to be nice about it, but you have taken our kindness for weakness and imposed even more of your cruel and oppressive dictates. You, the power-hungry politicians, put America under house arrest, and now we are coming out. We are taking off your masks, and we are taking back our rights. So now hear this. From this day forward, we are standing up and fighting back, and we are making America once again the land of the free and the home of the brave, because despite all of your political posturing and power grabbing, we are not in this together.
Powerful, powerful words, and a video I'll be sharing on our Facebook page a little bit later. We have the power, friends. We are the people, and taxation without representation, decisions without being heard, there's some consequences. And so I encourage you to get your vote in. Make sure you fill it out. Drop it off. It's too late to mail it, even though there's a stamp on it. Get it in. If you haven't received a ballot, I encourage you to certainly call them today and get your ballot and get it in. Transitioning now, as I talked about a little bit earlier, it is my birthday today, and I'm so pleased to have on the line my parents. And let me see if I can pull them up here. Hello, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Happy birthday.
Hi, Dad. Hi, Mom. Thank you. Thank you that 51 years ago, this little redheaded baby came into your life. And thank you for being amazing parents. And tell me what you're up to today.
Well, we're up in the middle of the Black Hills National Forest, camping.
You're camping in the Black Hills of South Dakota. You can camp there in South Dakota?
Well, of course.
Yeah, well, we can't do that here in Oregon.
Well, they never closed South Dakota. So.
Oh, they never closed it. That's right. Governor Noem kept it open and trusted the people to make the right decisions, right?
Yep, South Dakota common sense.
Common sense, South Dakota. You know, I was joking. Maybe you've heard me say this before. There's no scientific chart to look at common sense and measure it, you know. I'm so glad to have you on the line today. And earlier in the segment, I talked about what an honor it is to have a relationship with my parents and my mom and standing for life and liberty. You know, you both are retired now. Mom, you're still kind of working, but you're more or less retired. And you're enjoying your senior years, your mature years, and able to camp and travel around. How has this COVID-19 shutdown affected you two?
Well, it's just weird because if you're retired and you want someone, you just go. But when they suggest you don't go about work in that age group, we don't go. We go very little.
Yeah. Yeah, and you are, you know, if anything, it's kind of funny because you and Dad do have some underlying health things that we were monitoring, and it's kind of interesting as a child to say, hey, Mom and Dad, maybe you're going out a little bit too much, but you had that liberty there in Salem or in Rapid City to do so. We don't have it here in Salem. Talk to me a little bit about when I was born and where. What were you two doing? Where were you located? Where was I born?
I was home taking.
You were taking a nap? What? Explain yourself, please.
Well, we were in Fort Hood.
Fort Hood.
Mm-hmm. It'd be several hours before I was born, so they just sent me home.
Ah.
And an hour and a half later, they said you were here.
Yeah, it's a little different these days. Although COVID-19, I don't think many people can go in with the gal having a baby, but certainly, Mom, how did that make you feel knowing you were there waiting to have a baby and in a Army hospital?
Oh, it was just, in those days, husbands couldn't come in anyway.
Ah, okay.
So he would have been outside. So they thought it'd be a little. So they said we might as well get.
So yes. So
he was in the car after.
That's awesome. So you have this brand new baby. Dad's in the Army, and you're starting your family there in Fort Hood, Texas, and the rest is history, right? Now you know, I often joke at graduation, you all gave me luggage for graduation, and off I went, right? Now I'm on the adventure back to, I'd gone to South Dakota, you guys kind of followed, and now I'm in Oregon. Are you planning a trip this way sometime soon?
We're planning it.
We got to get We got to get it open up so my mom and dad can come visit. Last year we were all together for my birthday. That was sure fun as Bree was graduating from high school. And I have to tell a funny story to the listeners. We went to a wonderful place in Branson where there's an amusement park, Silver Dollar City. And we had my mom, grandma, great grandma, myself, my daughter, and my granddaughter all on this wild ride. We had no idea. And we were together. Mom, thanks for all the wonderful mothering. Dad, thank you. Love you guys. Have a wonderful time camping. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use this day and every day. Thank you for tuning in, friends. Remember, over, under, around, or through, we can do this. Don't forget about the press conference at 10:30 this morning. We'll see you there. Have a great day.